All right, everybody, we're back with our Mandalorian coverage, Chapter 6, The Prisoner. And it's just starting up with the Lucasfilm Limited thing. Preview, let me see the preview coverage, so let me pause it here. Come with me, lots of squirt guns, the kid, yes. Okay, then the episode opens. Now, this episode is a little bit different, and it shows the potential of a kind of serial and episodic series. And I don't know, I particularly enjoyed this. I watched it a lot. And maybe it was the casting. Maybe it was just because it was so much different than all the other episodes, and it was contained. But we see the opening. We hear the flute-type sounds, and we see the Razor Crest landing in a hangar. There's drums. Also like how it kind of already, it's the beginning of the episode, but it kind of already started. And Mando's walking around to some sort of hangar, some sort of base, looking around. There's other people there, other beings. So some of them stare at him. Everybody seems to be working. So a couple of people, and then some dude says, "Mando, that you?" He goes under that bucket. Ran is that guy's name. He goes, "I didn't think I'd ever see you again." This guy looks like he probably plays slide guitar on the weekends or just sits around drinking cans of stuff and smoking. But he's like, "Oh, geez, stuff with the guild is not working out, huh?" And Mando says, "Don't worry about it." And Rand says, "Well, you know the policy. No questions asked around here, old buddy." And then, let's see, "No questions. What's the job?" Mando says. He says, "You're welcome back anytime." "What's the job?" The guy says, "Okay, well, we got one of our buddies got busted, got nabbed, and we got a crew to spring him. It's five-person job. I got four." And then he says, "All you need is a ride, though, and you brought it. It's already been brought in," as someone once said. And he goes, "What about me, man? I got Beskar armor." He goes, "You only care about my ship? It wasn't part of the deal." And he goes, "Well, that's the only reason I let you in here, was your ship." He goes, "Come on, man. Don't you know anything about gratitude? Aren't you grateful to me?" It's funny, though. I guess it's a little bit of exposition about the ship through the episode. You could tell they know each other pretty well, because he gives Mando a hard time. Then we meet Mayfeld, played by Bill Burr. He looks like a little bit like somebody out of a G.I. Joe comic. He's got some swagger. They talk about Mando's past a long time ago. "Remember what you once said one time, Mando?" Maybe not Mando's greatest moments. They had some crazy days, him and Ran. He says, "Yeah, that was a long time ago." And he goes, "Well, I don't leave the house," Ran says. So Mayfield's going to be the point man on this job. And if he says that, it's coming from me. And kind of like a little alpha off here. Mayfield says, but Mayfield's not really alpha. So he says, "Are you going to listen to me or not?" The guy says, "Well, things changed around." He goes, "Mayfield," he goes, "he's really good. Don't worry about it. He used to work in the Empire." And Mando goes, "Well, that's not saying much." He goes, "Well, I wasn't a stormtrooper." I don't know if this is the first time we learn about it, that the ship is called the Razor Crest or not. I don't know why I put down slot machine. But Mayfeld's not impressed with the Razor Crest. "Oh, Canto Bite slot machine," he says. Then we meet Berg, who is played by Clancy Brown. Though it takes a lot of looking. Berg's interesting. He's the muscle. Goes, "Oh, so this is a Mandalorian." Not impressed. Thought he'd be bigger. Then we meet a droid named Zero. Now, we've seen droids this, like, type on Nevarro. And the Mandalorian says, "What droids?" And he says, "I thought you said you had four." And then it says, like, one of his axes. Also, the droid is voiced by someone famous. from the It crowd. So his ex or something, she said, hello, Mando. Shihan, I think, is, she goes, I missed you. And she goes, this is shiny. You wear it well. Talking about his Beskar. Shihan is a little heartbroken, you know, Mando, from Mando. And they say, okay, we don't got much time. We got to get to work here. Get going. Oh, she, somebody also says, learn from the best. Also, the Burks calls Mando tiny. Then it opens. Then we see the title card, and it says, The Prisoner. Then we have Zero on the comms doing a check. Hyperdrive. Landing gear. He sees Grief Karga trying to get a message through. Deliver the quarry. And go, oh, that's interesting. Then they go over the plan. Fortified transport. Limited window. On and off, New Republic, Max Transport. Mando goes, oh boy, no way. That thing's, he goes, this is serious business. They go, job is a job, man. Don't mess it up. It'll be fine, Mando. Plus, it's a droid run ship. Then Zero says, you know, your ship's really not that nice. It's kind of a mess. But at least it goes off the grid and can jam codes. It's only 67.3% efficient. Rand says, yeah, it's an off-the-grid ship. It doesn't exist. And it can jam the code. But it's, you know, tricky flying. Mando goes, I don't know if I could pull that off. They go, oh, yeah, that's why Zero's flying his ship. He's quicker and smarter. He's the best. Mando, of course, doesn't trust droids. And I think he says, I don't trust anybody. And Rand says, just like the good old days, don't worry. Then let's see. Just like the good old days, he's the best. Don't worry, Mando. Oh, Mando says, I don't trust a droid. Rand says, I don't trust anybody. Maybe, I don't know. They get on the ship, they depart. Gate goes up, then Mando and Zero, I think, are in the, Rand kind of does it like, hey, see you, buddy, yeah, thingamajig. They head into hyperspace eventually, so we see that it's kind of like a space, not a, what do they call that, a spaceport or something, or a satellite. Oh, you know, we get a view of Berg pacing. Mayfeld and Shihan chilling. Everybody getting each other's nerves. Is Mando watching Zeros fly the ship? He says, you could go below, man. I'm going to go into hyperspace. I got it from here. Let's see. Oh, then down below, Berg opens Mando's safe and laughs. Mando appears down there and closes the door. He says, that's not your, not for you to be going through, man. Oh, actually, he just jumped down. He didn't appear down there. Uses his remote control to close it. Berg doesn't like that. Like, we get it. It's your personal space. Then they start kind of messing around. They go, why do we even need this suit? I think Berg says that. They go, yeah, well, don't worry. We'll get it done. They say, oh, you're so great. They're like talking about Mando and his presence. They go, oh, they're all laughing at him right now. And then talking about him like he's not there. Gee, Shihan, is he good? She goes, well, what about Elzak 3? Mando goes, you know, I did what I had to do. She goes, you liked it, though. She goes, I know who you really are. And they go, well, what about the helmet? So then they try to get him to take this is the way. And they go, well, we want to see your face. We don't necessarily trust you. And so then we have a little dance off. And then Oso gets revealed in Oso's hiding spot. They go, what is this, a pet or something? Man, he goes, yeah, something like that. It's a pet. He goes, you're really odd, man. Also, Mayfeld has Berg do his work for him. And they go, Jesus, he goes, what's this code of yours? Certainly is interesting. Mayfeld says he doesn't have patience for a pet. Geez, I can't believe you'd have a pet. Maybe that code of yours has made you soft. Oh, Shion says that. I don't have the temperament for pets, Mayfeld says. But then he picks up Baby Oso. Because maybe I'll try again, Mando. Try some balance. Not being overprotective. So they don't know how much he values Oso. But then they arrive. They're dropping out of hyperspace. Commencing final approach. They got to do some wild moves in the ship, which seems to have some gravity. Because everybody gets tossed around. Oso gets put away. And they land on the ship. And they say, okay, whoa, Zero Man commence extraction. Like, we didn't even get a proper countdown. And they go, geez, are we ready? He goes, oh, yeah, it's scrambling our signature. And I hacked in the computer, Zero says. And we got a job to do. Then Mando has to hack into the door or whatever, pick the lock, which everyone does. But everyone's making eyes while he's doing it. They're also a little bit jumpy. And then Mayfeld has to go first after you. We see some Daleks. So it's very, this it did have a Doctor Who feel to this episode a couple times. And then the nod kind of with the Dalek type robots. I did wonder about the handheld communicators that are still like the lip balm things. But, you know, what are you going to do? They say, get us to control room 0, sub-level 3. Oh, then Mando looks after Oso, then jumps down. Then he says, I know the drill, biotrackers are on. Watch out for the droids. So they start moving. We see Zero's watching them. They start going down these hallways. All are kind of these white hallways. We see some forest friends that are all like, it's a ship's like a little bit like a hostel. Everybody's sleeping there in their bunks from all different worlds. Also, somebody says, I don't like this, which reminded me of a paranoid android, or maybe, oh, yeah, oh, no, someone, oh, they call, they say, geez, are you paranoid, Mando? Left at the next juncture, and they see one of those little rolling bots, and Berg doesn't like it. He says, oh, little puppy. And, of course, he chases after it, which sends the droids in to check on them. There's a showdown, and Mando's not there. And he slides up behind them. Interesting, because I didn't point this out earlier, but everybody's on ice skates. I forgot that part. And so now there's like ice skating and everybody's trying to skate. It's like it's a combination of hockey and figure skating. And Mando comes up behind and does like 3 triple sow cows and a Lutz, a triple Lutz, and it's over. Everybody's impressed. But they're impressed, but then they're not. They try to act like they're not, and they walk away. They go, oh, clean up your mess. They don't treat him with any respect. But again, we get a hint of Mando's capabilities. And then Zero goes, okay, you've been detected. Also, I think I see an order gigantic signature somewhere, or something comes up. Then there's a standoff. oh, where they have the organic signature, which is like a person, because they thought they're only going to be figure skating with droids. And they realized that this is, they thought maybe it'd be like it's a human judge. So they try to say, well, geez, if you're going to be judging these rest of our figure skating, you can't, they say, are you sure you're not? And they say, well, I'm representing the droids. I'm like, just like in the height of the Cold War with figure skating, they say, well, how are you a judge if you're on the side of the droids? You're supposed to be judging fairly. And this judge just says, no, 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 I'm for Republic droids, period. So this is a bit, and they say, you know what, I'm going to call in the IOC or whatever. So he hits an alarm. They say, easy, egghead, nice shoes. Mando tries to take over, asks the judge, he says, well, let's not tick off the judge. Because this was before they dropped the top and the lowest score. He says, what's your name? Davin or something. Davin. Meanwhile, they find out where the person they're trying to catch, get out is. Why don't you both be quiet? There's blinking. Zero to Mayfeld. You got 20 minutes. They say, fine, we only need 5. We see Mando run on skates, which was interesting. Berg tosses the Daleks. He does like this Dalek hammer throw. Then they open up. They get the guy they're rescuing, Quinn, I think is his name. And he goes, geez, here he is, the man who left me behind. My one-time skating training partner. Left me behind, you know, at this, you know, 96 Olympics or something. I mean, this is in another world, so I'm just kind of translating. And they say, Mando, you're going to have to stay, you get a timeout. You have to stay in this skating thinking room. We're going to go get flowers and teddy bears tossed to us and get out of here. And deliver the quarry. So then they call Zero because they're like, how do we even get out of here? And he says, oh, I'll get you out of here. Don't worry. Just follow my directions. He goes, by the way, I found some info on Mandalorian's ship. And they go, who cares right now? And the thing was for the Mandalorian, he's put in one of those things, like a penalty box, I guess, is like exactly what he's in. They just call it something different. He actually uses actual elbow grease to get out. Then Zero notices this. We see Zero at the controls. And then Mando goes into the control room, like where the judges watch, because they don't watch. They watch all of these video screens. And he starts pressing buttons, like shutting down, releasing Zambonis, all that stuff. They say, Zero says, geez, you have a potential problem. Then Mando shuts, it turns out the like fluorescent lights, turns on these red lights, which make things way more moody, kind of like a night vision mode, which is cool. So Mando's like kind of split up all, so the team has to split up while Mando just kind of watches. And they say, Zero, do you copy? And then he's like, I can't seem to get a hold of you. Let's see. Here's where they're splitting up. The red light are on. Say, come on, let's go. Mando's watching, shutting doors, splitting up Zambonis. And they say, yeah, you go that way, we'll go this way. That's when Zero says, let's see what Zero's going to say. Zero says, yeah, do you copy? I can't get a hold of you. Weird. Let me press some buttons here. Comms are no far longer functioning. You can't hear me, obviously. You're on your own. Then we hear Oso, and Zero sees Oso and says, curious. Then they're back on the ship. They say, fine, Mando. Then we go back to Zero and Oso making contact. They decide to play hide and seek on the ship. And I think he says, do you have a name? Mayfeld calls, oh no, that's the dude. This kind of guy reminded me a little bit of like that he could have been played by David Bowie, this other character that they rescued. He goes, oh, do you have a name? Mayfeld says, yeah, that's a, he's obviously like from a rich family. Cause he says, do you even have a name? He goes, Mayfeld. He goes, well, you're going to get me off the ship, Mayfeld. He goes, what about your sister? Is his sister? He goes, just get me off the ship, man. I don't really care about that stuff. Mando's still watching. He thinks about the beacon that called in the IOC. Red Halls, they talk about Mando disliking the droid. Mayfeld keeps calling Zero, but he calls him ZZZ. Yeah, let's see. So he picks up the beacon. Says, huh, I don't need no IOC coming here to reevaluate everything. And we got the hallways, Mayfeld and the Bowie-esque dude. I don't know why. I said, reminds me of David Bowie. Not exactly sure why. Mayfeld's calling ZZ. Can't get a hold of anything. He's frustrated. The guy goes, hey, whatever Rand promised, I'll give you triple. Just get me out of here, buddy. Oh, no, he says, yeah, I'm going to get out of here. You go get Mando. See ya. Quinn is his name. I forgot that. So he sends Mayfeld off after Mando. Then we have this really cool sequence. Everybody looking for Mando. There's great music. And also Zero and Oso are playing hide and seek. But Oso says, I don't know if Zero is going to play fair. Then we have the Ran. This was like a Bond, like a brief, like it was a sequence from a Bond movie, I felt like, in a good way. Ran says, well, I'm going to play the hockey version of this figure skating hockey game and not the figure skating version. And so he uses a lot of hockey moves on Mando, who's not quite ready for it. And also Mando uses all these James Bond-esque gadgets. Which don't work. And also Berg is interested in seeing Mando's face. But then he sees, they do like a thing where Mando says, look through door number one. And then he says, look through door number two. And Mando gets away. Then Shihan was just looking for Mando. We see Zero looking for Oso. We get the idea that I think Mando outskated Shihan. Then Mayfeld, there's like this 80s type music playing that goes to an industrial type music. Really, really good again in these moments. And Mando goes in like, he has like it reminds me of like a Rudy Galindo moment because there's like strobe lighting and it's just an overpowering moment where he skates on, where Mayfeld can't even get his bearings because of the strobe lighting and the music and stuff. And so he's like so jumpy. Then Zero also has a new hiding spot. Zero's trying to find it. Quinn. It's waiting. He's about to get on the ship, and then Mando's there. He goes, yeah, I outskated everybody. They got what they deserved. Then I think Quinn, maybe, I don't know, I understand the money situation, but I don't know why, because I put a money symbol. Because I think basically Quinn says, I'll pay you to bring me back anyway. All the money Ram promised and more. Be reasonable. You were hired to do a job. Isn't that your code? You're a man of honor. Like, let's put the skating aside. Then we see Zero is about to find Oso, and then Oso's about to do the magic hands, but then Mando appears and says, oh, no, no, no. you're staying in on the ice skating ship without everybody. And Osos goes, oh, Papa, hello, oh, Papa. And then they're out. They go back to the space station. We see the radar. They land. Mando, Razorcrest. First, we just see Ran. He's all smiles. I guess he didn't know what to expect. Then he sees a door open. He laughs. Because he's thinking that Mando didn't come back. You know, he thinks that it's just going to be Quinn and his crew. And I think, let's see who gets off first again. There's where Oso, I'm watching Oso says, oh, Papa, hello, Papa. Coos or whatever. Googly, googly, goo. That's what Oso says a lot of times. Razorcrest takes off. I guess it, like the way the beacon works for the IOC is different for everybody. So then they go, you know, and they see the Razorcrest jump, and now it's going into the space station. Mando's pushing buttons, checking his radar. Rand's looking. It lands. He's standing there, and he's pretty pleased. He says, "Okay, well." And then we see Mando and Quinn. He goes, huh, oh boy, didn't calculate this one. Quinn doesn't look, he looks happy to be free, but they laugh. They have a big hug. Where's everybody else? Everything went fine, Mando? Where's all the others? He goes, no questions asked. That's the policy. He goes, yeah, that's the policy. Mando goes, pay it up, sucker. So Quinn reaches in, throws him some stacks. Mando says, just like the good old days. And he goes, I'm out, all right. They look after him. And then they frown as soon as he turns his back. You know, they don't like Mando, really. Closes the door. Quinn's got a muscle shirt on, and he has muscles to back it up. Mando's taken off. Ran waves at him, and he kind of reverses out of the ship. And they say, all right, let's take Mando and make him go bye-bye. We're going to IOC doping convention type thing. But we quickly realize, you know, that this won't happen. Mando's too smooth for that. We hear a little beeping. They say, wait a second, what's that beeping noise? Mando planted it on Quinn. He says, what's this thing? He goes, that's the IOC button, man. That's it. We're toast. Oh, dear. Not good. And then we see three X-Wings jump in. Somehow they miss Mando. Mando takes off, and the three pilots say, okay, we got a link on the beacon. Probably trouble. Oh, looks like they're launching some sort of ship. Let's just take them all and, you know, say go bye-bye. And so that's the end of them. Mando won. JRKS is a zero, and the Mando jumps the ship into space, going through hyperspace. Kind of is tired. We see Baby Oso. He gives Baby Oso his ball to play with. He goes, here, buddy, play with the ball. That was a bad idea, but I guess we got paid. And but growl, growl. Something. I don't know what that is. There it is. It's the three of them. Mayfeld. We get a little post thing of Mayfeld, Sheehan, and Berg. And they're in the penalty box. He growls, growls. It's like they all have headaches. That's what it was. They're all holding their heads. At least Mayfeld and Berg are. And then we have the wrap. I counted 12 paintings, but, you know, I've probably been wrong on every time I've counted. But with that episode comes to a close. So let's see what came up on this episode I wrote about here or researched. Slot machine was the first thing. So let's go to Wikipedia and look up slot machine. Slot machine known as a fruit machine, a puggy, the slots, poker pokies, or simply slot is a casino machine, game of chance. Also known by their large mechanical levers attached to the side of early mechanical machines. It usually has three or more reels that spin when the game is activated. Some still use the lever, but more as a design trait, because now they've been superseded by random number generators and are operated with push buttons or touch screens. They usually include some way to validate payment, coin, cash, voucher, token. But yeah, let's look at the history. The first one was developed by Stipman and Pitt in Brooklyn, 1891. It had five drums with a total of 50 card faces based on poker. It was popular. Many bars in the city had them. They were a nickel. And they'd be hoping for there was no direct payment mechanism, but a pair of kings might get a free beer. Royal Flush would pay out cigars or drinks. So it's interesting. It was kind of like, I don't know what you call it, but. Due to the vast number of possible wins, it proved practically impossible to come up with a way to make the machine capable of making an automatic payment for all combinations. But somewhere between 1887 and 1895, Charles Fay of San Francisco devised a simpler automatic mechanism. With three reels and five symbols, horseshoes, diamonds, spades, hearts, and the Liberty Bell. The bell gave the machine its name. Three reels instead of five drums. The complexity was reduced and allowed Fay to devise an automatic payment payout mechanism. Three bells in a row would pay 10 nickels, and it was a huge success, Liberty Bell. And it went on from there, I guess. Until entire industries and... So there's a lot more about it, the article on Wikipedia. And what about the It crowd? Holy cow. We got a little bit of and a taste of it here through Zero, which if I don't know if you've seen it. It's a British sitcom broadcast by Channel 4. It's set in a fictional office and it revolves around the members of the IT staff. Maurice, Roy, and Jen, and kind of, I guess you don't want to ruin the show too much, but you kind of got to see it. It premiered all the way back in 2006, and it ran for four series of six episodes each. The sixth was commissioned but not produced. There was a special in 2013. What else do you mean? I mean, it's kind of a show you should see. I don't know where, I'm sure you could stream it somewhere. It was internationally syndicated on ABC in Australia, UK TV, GTV, Comedy Central in Germany, in Poland, HBO in Czech Republic, and the IFC, it's also on Netflix, Tubi TV, and Hulu, it says here. And while fifth season was created or commissioned in 2011, and they did start pre-production, they were going to do it as a goodbye, but I guess it just didn't work out. Just couldn't make it work with the schedules of people's work schedules and stuff like that. But it's definitely a show you should check out. I mean, delightful performances and stuff. Also, you wear it well was said in this episode about the Beskar armor, which is a Rod Stewart song written by Rod Stewart and Martin Quittington. Kind of sounds very similar to Maggie May. It was came out in 72, Never a Dull Moment. International hit, number one on the UK singles chart. In the US, it hit 13. Stewart performed it on Top of the Pops with the full lineup of Faces. Also a 2013 performance. Not much more about it. I don't know. When I Googled You Wear It Well, that was the first thing that came up. Another show that came up was, that I've talked about on the podcast before, is The Prisoner, which is a 1967 British science fiction TV series, which is very out there. Very 60s, 70s TV, British TV. It has a little bit of spy, a little bit of science fiction. And it's very different. It was a single season of 17 episodes, 1966 to 1968. Let's see. It was first broadcast in Canada, then the UK, then in the US. What else we got here? It kind of had that 60s countercultural feel, surrealistic fantasy. I guess it was a remake on AMC in 2009. And I'm trying to think of what we could talk about. Like, it follows this unnamed person who suddenly finds himself in a mysterious village in the mountains. He meets people, starts to walk around. No, everyone has names and not numbers. But it's like, obviously he gets number six, the main character. And obviously there's a number one and then there's number two who he's in contact with, trying to figure stuff out. And I don't know, it's a show you definitely should check out because it's very different. And I'm not sure, I'm sure it's available somewhere. I thought about doing it for the podcast, but it's just not as wide. I don't know if maybe one day or maybe as a bonus or something. Home media. Oh, there was a book, there was comics, there was DVDs. And I'm sure it's like, that 40 DVD box set, Blu-ray. So definitely another thing you could check out. What about Paranoid Android? That's a song from OK Computer from Radiohead, 1997. It was written, it's 6 minutes long, four sections. It's named after Marvin, the Paranoid Android from Hitchhiker's Guide. It made it to number three on the UK singles chart. It's regularly considered one of the great songs. The first version was 42 minutes long, very Pink Floyd-esque, I guess. It says here on Wikipedia, it kind of got deep purpley. And they did put it out on one of their compilations. But then they shortened it down. It replaced a big organ solo with a guitar solo. I guess it was recorded near Bath. It's kind of, it has parts from three different songs, a little bit of Beatles, a little bit of Pixies, and a little bit of the Queen. Let's see, because Paranoid Android is described as alternative rock or art rock or progressive rock, G minor, 84 beats per minute. Release and reception, music video, packaging. I'm just trying to read through anything. Cover versions. A lot of cover versions on here. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. You can link to it. You read more about it here. What about, don't forget about Clancy Brown, the great actor. One of the great actors. Plays a lot of non-good guys. Even though he seems like a good guy. He's been in the movie, let's see, he's been in Highlander, Shawshank, Carnival. He's in the most recent Thor movie, Earth 2. Yeah, he's been on almost everything. ER, The Riches, The Deep End, Leverage, Dukes of Hazzard, The Flash, Daredevil. Does a ton of voiceover, holy cow, in Marvel and DC. Oh, he's in Buckaroo Banzai. Let's see what else he was in here. Blue Steel, Starship. Let's see what else we got here. Cowboys and Aliens. What else we got? Hail Caesar. And then television. He's been on TV since 1983. I'm pretty sure, wasn't he in Lost? Yeah, 2006. He was like a classic character briefly on Lost. I remember them talking about it on the Lost podcast, how much they wanted to work with him. Little Mermaid, the Little Mermaid TV show, though. Hercules, the TV show. So, I don't know, just another nice thing, Clancy Brown. And, you know, let's finish up with elbow grease. Elbow grease is an idiom, according to Wikipedia, for working hard. Figure of speech in humorously indicating nothing but hard work is needed. I don't know. I just, like, thought it was interesting because that's how the Mandalorian gets out. It's actual using the elbow grease from a droid. So that's the end of the episode discussion. I'm just going to turn it over here really quick to Wendy Marshrap. Oh, thanks, Scooter. Hey, this is Wendy Marshrap here with your few minutes in visiting Star Wars Galaxies. I wanted to tell you, if you can, don't worry, I'm here with Dewey, my do-back, and wanted to tell you, if you're ever in the area, visit Sorgan. That's S-O-R-G-A-N, Sorgan. It's a beautifully remote planet, forests. If you like I know that people listening, they may have interests like walking in the woods. You could do that on Sorgan. If you like swimming, oh boy, Sorgan is like a land of lakes, lakes and ponds and rivers everywhere. Very, very lush but temperate. If you're a fan of, now I know everybody, particularly Scooter, doesn't eat shellfish, but if you do enjoy krill, which is a bit like shrimp, I may be, but I don't know, but you'll love Sorgan. And then also, oh, so many villages with handcrafted goods. And then, of course, Sorgan is best known for its liquors. It's the home of many glowing liquors, which people really, really like to drink. So you could come there. If you wanted to have a drink that glows, come to Sorgan. Sorgan, the home of drinks that glow. This is Wendy Marshrap and Dewey the Dewback saying, visit Sorgan for the forests, for the people, and for the glowing drinks. Good night.